gut changes, immune challenges, growth spurts, weather changes, full moons, seasonal shifts, they all increase the trigger and the likelihood of seizures, because a child having seizures already has an overly sensitive, imbalanced, dysregulated nervous system.
Welcome to the Experience Miracles podcast, where we help parents find hope, answers, and drug-free help to overcome your child's chronic health challenges. I'm your host, Dr. Tony Ebel, and I'll be sharing my experiences as both a dad and a doctor on every episode. I can take the latest science and neurology of healing and break it down in the most simple and relatable way possible. We'll take on the toughest topics and answer your biggest questions through interviews with other amazing parents and leading experts, leaving you with practical action steps that you can take to help your child heal and thrive. It's time to expect and experience miracles. Let's get started.
All right, moms and dads, this is a deep dive episode into a condition that I think probably definitely sucks more than any other one out there. Now, that's an unfair comparison, because when we see our kiddos struggle with health challenges of any kind, from, you know, an ear infection to an upset stomach, it just pulls on our heartstrings as parents like none other. But this episode is all about seizures. And watching my own son, I'll explain just a touch more here in a second, watching my own son as an infant, as a brand new baby, have seizures was the worst thing I pray I ever experienced in my life. I hope there's nothing worse than that. And just knowing for other parents, when you watch your child have a seizure, and in this episode, when we break these down, we're going to get into all the different types of seizures, all the different medications and all the things they do and all the side effects they do. And then we're going to get into drug-free options for seizures as well. But I would totally be missing the most important part of opening this episode if I didn't just tell you the truth that I have a real personal, I guess you could, yeah, you can call it that, just a real personal relationship with seizures, one as a dad and as a doctor. And therefore, I have made it my personal life mission to get this message, all the things I'm going to teach you on this podcast, to get it into, I guess here in a podcast, we're going to say into the ears and into the minds and into the hearts of millions of families, because that's what it is. Hundreds of thousands of kids in this country, 470,000 kids in the United States alone under the age of 14 are dealing with epilepsy and dealing with seizures. It's a huge neurological condition that is massively debilitating. And the seizures and the neurological dysfunction that is causing the seizures, which we will break down what that is, itself is a very not good, terrible thing. And then the medications, they're called AEDs, anti-epileptic drugs or seizure medications. They're just nasty. They're just awful. They are just riddled with side effects over time. They become much less effective. And therefore, as the dosages go up, or as neurologists and epileptologists have to stack multiple seizure drugs into a kid's plan and life, then the side effects become stacked up and more exponentially worse. And so this is not necessarily a pleasant conversation with seizures, but it's a crazy important conversation. And it's a conversation, it's an episode that you're going to hear about the science behind seizures and things you can do to help your child that is vividly different than anywhere and everywhere else out there. Now, for the most part, medicine still continues to say seizures are just bad luck. They're genetic, right? We know certain things cause them, certain reactions and certain injuries and certain illnesses. But for the most part, they still say, well, even once they're there, there's nothing you can do except here's your medications. And then parents, we know that in today's world, there is much more out there. There's got to be something other than these heavy hitting, nasty drugs to at least take the edge off the stress of our kids' nervous systems. And so when this got started for me as a dad, I was already 3 years into being a doctor, and a very different kind of doctor than you're probably used to. If this is your first time listening to the Experience Miracles podcast, then this is your first introduction to what may be called, or what is called, nervous system focused or neurologically focused pediatric chiropractic care. Now, this isn't the episode necessarily where I'm going to break down all the innards of chiropractic and how it's different than medicine and how a nervous system focused chiropractor is different, but this is our lane. the truth is, jumping right to, you know, the, where we're going to get going down the road, this is a conversation that has everything to do with the nervous system, and particularly something called the vagus nerve, which is located in the upper neck and the brainstem, which is physically traumatically injured during the birth process for millions of kids, especially ones struggling with seizures. So in the neck, in the brainstem, is where this enters a conversation that a chiropractor needs to be involved in. And I promise you this, I just want to introduce that science during the introduction of this episode. I'm going to break that down. I'm going to get into the granular details of the connections to seizures, to the brainstem, to the vagus nerve, and those things. But this is a personal connection to me because my son, our son, Oliver, was born not just 6 weeks early. He came a little bit early, which has to do with neurological development. And kids who are born early or fully preterm, we definitely know they are at higher risk of neurological challenges, including seizures, because their nervous system is less developed. An earlier birth has more stress, more NICU stay, which is the most stressful, toxic area out there. And so this whole little perfect storm brews. Well, for Oliver, born on Memorial Day 2009, and if you want to hear Oliver's full story, one of the earlier podcast episodes, I believe actually episode number 3, is where my wife joins me and we break down and we go through Oliver's journey with being born a little bit early. But the most important thing he had was he had a physically traumatic brainstem and what's called hypoxic brain injury, meaning there was physical trauma to his neck and his brain, and that limited the amount of oxygen, CSF, and what's called proprioception. Now, I bring up CSF, cerebral spinal fluid. I bring up proprioception. Those are terms that people don't really talk about medically with seizures and hypoxic brain injuries and cerebral palsy. Hypoxic is maybe a word you've heard of, but when the neck is injured during the birth process, like Oliver's was, the brain is injured as well. And there's multiple components. There's multiple pieces and parts of that injury. Same as when there's an adverse reaction or a toxic reaction to a medication or to a medical intervention or to an environmental trigger. Wherever and whichever kind of stress comes into a child's nervous system, it actually creates the same neurological storm. So Oliver was born with a traumatic brainstem hypoxic brain injury, and he experienced seizures, both visible seizures, one that I was able to watch, and that one was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life, as he was being transferred from one hospital to another, and his nervous system was literally, his life was hanging on by a thread, and he went into that seizure response. And then his EEGs and his MRIs showed clear brain damage. His EEGs had what were called burst suppressions. So his seizures would have a burst activity within his brain. And then that would immediately be so much stress, such a surge of stress into his little brain and his little body, that it would immediately go into what's called a suppressive response, where the nervous system had so much stress surging through it all at once that it had to go dormant. It had to basically shut down to literally protect itself, to stay alive. And so when your brand new baby is in the NICU, going through these surgeries, facing all these different outcomes, his first issues were actually cardiopulmonary. He had to have multiple, he had to have a heart lung bypass surgery called ECMO. But the brain damage, the hypoxic brainstem injury, was so bad for Oliver that we were told he had a 99% chance. And they only said those numbers because who says 100, even though they meant it, a 99% chance of epilepsy, cerebral palsy, autism. And they told us with an absolute guarantee he would struggle with seizures and brain damage, the results of brain damage, his entire life. So he needed to be on phenobarbital, Keppra, all of these different medications. They started with one, and they weren't even trying to hide the fact that in their prognosis, he was going to struggle with seizures and neurological issues his whole life, and therefore needed to be on these heavy-hitting, side effect-riddled seizure medications his whole life as well. And he didn't end up with the outcome that medically they were so certain he would have. Oliver would leave the NICU 6 weeks later after medicine saved his life, by the way. I have the utmost appreciation, respect, and just honestly blown away by what they were able to do to save our son's life. And in the same breath, I knew they didn't have a single clue, not even a shred of one, of how to actually help heal his brain and nervous system naturally without medications and get to the root cause of his seizures. I knew what his root cause was. I literally watched it happen with my own eyes. That birth trauma, that brainstem injury to his neck, to his vagus nerve, what happened literally in front of me. And I was a unique kind of dad in that position, in that moment. I had spent the last 5 years of my career as a nervous system focused pediatric chiropractor studying autism, epilepsy, cerebral palsy, and its connection to vagus nerve brainstem damage via birth interventions like forceps, vacuum, C-section, induction, and other sort of births like Oliver had. And so the dots were easily connected for me, while they were impossible for the medical world to connect. My goal with this podcast episode, and the reason I'm starting it with a little bit of a deep dive into Oliver's story, is to let you know that the answers you've been searching, scrolling, and praying for are often right in front of us, but they happened so long ago, number one, that it's really hard as a parent to make those clinical correlations and connect those dots. And number two, 99.9% of neurologists, pediatricians, epileptologists, they are still clueless to these connections. They know the vagus nerve is involved. They know the nervous system is obviously involved. They know that there's obvious brain damage with oxygenation, metabolic, endocrine, other sort of functions we'll get into. Inflammation is even involved. But they don't know how to keep digging all the way into the root cause of what was really going on. So my son Oliver left the NICU 6 weeks later after medical care saved his life, and he was getting neurologically focused chiropractic adjustments along with clean, perfect nutrition every single day. He was getting adjusted 2 to 3 times a day during the NICU, and Oliver left with his EEG perfect, with the brain damage that was visibly, literally seen where the hypoxic brain damage was on his MRI, gone, clear. His post-MRI showed no brain damage, showed the brain had healed. His EEGs showed the burst suppression and the nasty seizure activity he was having had gone away. And it showed that it didn't just go away because he was no longer in the medical procedures, no longer on the oxygen support, and no longer on the medications. It went away because the root cause neurological dysfunction that was leading to the seizures went away, because that's what I was able to take care of. That's the conversation I want to get deep into here today, is to teach you, yes, often there's medical conditions that are causing and highly correlated with seizures. And heck yes, so often for so many kids, we need incredible neurologists, epileptologists, and medical doctors, and maybe even medications and surgeries and different medical devices to help our child calm this seizure storm. But what if there's something more? What if there is a way to dive deeper into the central and autonomic nervous system, into the brainstem, into the vagus nerve, and to be able to calm the stress that's in your child's brain and nervous system? What if there's a way to reorganize and reconnect some of these pathways that have been disrupted and damaged from birth trauma, from inflammation, from toxic reactions? What if there's a way to actually help our kids heal naturally without drugs? Shouldn't we be given the choice to turn to that first, not last? And that right there is exactly what God put me on this earth and literally to the T said to me, get this podcast going, get that YouTube channel going, get your social media going, because parents deserve to know, whether we're talking about seizures, which we are today, or really any condition out there, what if we saved drugs for last instead of first? What if instead of trying to just simply stuff down symptoms and cover things up and then deal with this whole host of side effects that come with medication as well, what if we actually had a doctor whose obsession and training and clinical application was to address the root cause neurological dysfunction to these challenges. Isn't that what parents want? And the answer is yes. You know, you're listening right now, and I know inside your heart and inside your brain, you went, heck yes, where have you been? Well, we're here now to get you this hope, answers, and drug-free help, because the truth is medicine serves its job. There was medical doctors in that hospital that saved my son's life, but they're the fire department. They know how to put fires out. They don't know how to rebuild, restore, repair, reorganize. And the nervous system is an intricate son of a gun system. That is why seizures might be my least favorite condition ever, because seizures are a very stressed, very out of balance, very, very not working well nervous system that leads to seizures. So before we get into the different types of seizures, the different types of medications, the side effects they cause, and then most importantly, kind of my final chapter of this podcast episode that I'm going to get through at the end is, okay, well, if we don't want that approach, if we don't want to rely solely on medications, what else is out there? Because I know as parents, when you go into these natural health, you know what you're going to get when you go into the medical world. You know what you're going to get when you go into 99 of 100 neurologists' office. They're going to run some EEGs, run some MRIs, take your symptoms, take your child's symptoms and go, boom, seizures, here's your drug. Which one, you know, Keppra this, Topamax that. You know what you're going to get in that world. You're going to get medication after medication after medication. You know that that may be kind of sort of, hopefully a little bit, will help your child's seizures, and then you're going to get all the side effects. So the outcomes there are pretty well known. What is so hard for parents in today's world? It's an exciting time in natural health, and it's a wildly frustrating time to be a parent, because when you get online and when you get into Facebook groups, when you get out there and you talk to people about how could I help my child, how could I go after the root cause? What is the root cause? What can I do without medications? There is so much information that that's exciting, and there is so much information that it's wildly overwhelming, and you don't know what will work for which kid, your kid, and which condition, your child's condition. And so while today on a podcast episode or any of the content we make on our Instagram, our Facebook, our YouTube, or our website, we can't personalize and customize the conversation. I promise you this, we're going to move you in the direction and give you the connections you need to get just that. And before I do that, I just want to read you word for word this very important medical disclaimer I want to put on this podcast, because I want to not only have this, because this is an educational podcast. This is not medical advice. This is not any of that. But I also want you to hear a couple important words from this. So I'm going to read it word for word for you, all right? Please note that the information provided on this podcast is for educational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. Okay. That is exactly what I mean to say word for word. And then let's just live this out. Let's just play that statement. Let's play those sentences out as a parent. What if your physician can't answer your questions? What if your physician isn't giving you answers and explanations that make sense? What if your physician has no other options other than another medication, a higher dose, or another one that you haven't tried yet? What if you're like so many families with epilepsy and seizures, and you literally have tried every freaking one of these medications? What if your child has intractable, medication-resistant epilepsy? Then what? Well, then I think what we need to do with the rest of this podcast episode is we need to focus on those four words, or other qualified health provider. Now, first off, we should focus on how bad I am at math. That's actually five words. Sorry, I truncated it down real quick. So, or other qualified health provider. We'll lighten the mood with a little joke here. At that, there is other experts of neurological conditions and neurological challenges, including seizures, besides just your standard white coat wearing epileptologist and neurologist. And what I can tell you is that as a parent, that's where I found the answers I was seeking. As a doctor, that's where I have found the answers that I know other parents have been seeking. And I have spent my entire career focused on seizures and neurological conditions in kids and drug-free options for those families who want to move in that direction. And I know, because I was there as a parent, I know that at the beginning of this, right now in the thick of this, I know your goals. Your goals are no seizures and no drugs. And for many of our patients, you can find them on our website. Go to pxdocs.com and you can read about Cole and you can read about Francesca and you can read about Oliver and you can read about Andrew and you can read about all these kids who have had incredible, full, optimal outcomes with neurologically focused chiropractic care, which didn't treat their seizures, did not cure their seizures, because chiropractic does not treat and does not cure anything, especially epilepsy and seizures. You got to hear that when I say that. What we do is vividly different. We actually fully address the root cause and we go at that with everything we've got. And for many kids, they've gotten everything and then some, the goals they and their parents had, and they're entirely seizure free and they're entirely medication free. And then in other kiddos, their brain damage, their nervous system, their stress was so much that we were able to lessen the stress. We were able to lessen their dependency on medications. We were able to, are able to massively, greatly increase their quality of life. Because this neurological dysfunction that we're about to break down called subluxation, dysautonomia, vagus nerve dysfunction, all these terms we'll introduce, perhaps for some of you for the first time on here, they don't just cause seizures. They cause a whole bunch of other perfect storm, health malfunction, dysfunction, quality of life destruction challenges along the way. I have yet to meet a child struggling with seizures who didn't have issues with their gut, their immune system, their motor planning, their behavior, their emotion, their anxiety. And the list goes on because the nervous system controls everything. So by the time a child is having seizures, their nervous system is so stressed, so disorganized and so out of balance that they're dealing with a whole bunch of other stuff as well. So for many of our parents, or sorry, many of our patients, the goals become that. Let's massively increase your quality of life and do everything we can do to decrease dependency on these nasty side effect riddled medications. So I know that this episode is going to land at a different level of severity, a different level of chronicity, a different level of whether your child's already on medications or 10 or not. But I want to let every parent know that this information you will find in this episode, one, you're not going to find it anywhere else. Nobody else is talking about this stuff. And two, when you take action on this information and you get a neurologically focused chiropractor on your child's care team, you're only going to move forward to a higher quality of life. Because what we're going to teach you is exactly how to get your child's sympathetic fight or flight nervous system storm to finally calm. We're going to teach you how to stimulate and activate your child's vagus nerve, which is the rest, calm, relaxation, shut down the storm side of the nervous system. We're going to teach you things that are going to create neurological healing, restoration, and reorganization for your child. And every kiddo's ultimate final outcome from that is different. And I can't speak to that today because I'm speaking a 30,000 foot view slash deep dive into seizures. But I can tell you that when you get this information, moms and dads, I want to get it to you, not just so you have it, but so that you can do something with it. Okay. All right. So let's dig into this sucker. Number one, brief introduction to seizures and their general impact. They don't just cause seizures. They cause quality of life destruction and disruption. When a child is struggling with seizures, the list, it would take me a half hour to unfortunately list all the other things that tend to go sideways with that. Number one, when you're constantly living in stress, fear, and anxiety, both as a child, especially as they get older and they start to figure out exactly what's happening and the struggles they're having, well, that creates anxiety and fear and tension of seizures coming. And so that anxiety, that fear, this is why we call everything the perfect storm with this. That anxiety, fear, and tension shifts the nervous system further into sympathetic dominance, which actually increases the threshold and trigger of seizures. So neurological dysfunction that triggers seizures, it messes with the gut. It messes with the immune system. So many of our, the vast majority of our epilepsy patients are constipation, eczema, severe gut issues, immune dysregulation. They are constantly constantly sick. They deal with massive allergies and seasonal. They're put on antibiotics and steroid medications, which, oh, by the way, messes with the gut-brain connection, stresses out the nervous system, creates more inflammation, and contributes to seizures. So their gut's a mess. Their immune system's a mess. Their motor system is a mess. Many of them, the seizures land in the motor system, and they actually have what are called myo-related or myoclonic or myotonic sort of seizures that affect the movement of the body. Dyskinesia, motor tics, all come involved with this. Mental, emotional, behavioral dysregulation comes with this. So without going too far into the bullet points, what we know about epilepsy and seizures is perhaps, you know, as much or more as autism and those sort of deeper, tougher, nastier neurological conditions, they very much disrupt quality of life for the entire family. I know for cases like Cole and Francesca and many others we've been able to help as teenagers and young adults, their seizures were leading to social isolation. The anxiety kind of ran its course and turned into exhaustion and depression and not wanting to be here anymore because the seizures, the stress from them and the medications and the side effects from those had become so just so bad, so much that many kids, many patients with seizures just reach that stage of life with depression and suicidal tendencies. So to say that seizures disrupt the quality of life is probably the most dramatic understatement I could ever make on this podcast. But what's going on with seizures? Well, if we start to describe them a little bit, keeping it simple for a second, there is generalized seizures, which affect the whole brain, the whole nervous system. And then there's focal seizures. In the medical world, they talk about focal seizures affecting only one part of the brain. Now, what can happen with focal seizures and these more kind of like specific location seizures as they continue to fire, if the root cause is not addressed and they're not cleared out of the way, well, seizures can spread. You have maybe heard the term before, muscle memory. I only bring that up because it's just an easy term. Everybody knows the more times you shoot a basket, the more times you ride a bike, the general layman's term for this is called muscle memory. Well, I bring that up to introduce what's really going on there because it's really important in seizures. It's actually nervous system memory. It's nerve memory. And the nerd term for it is called neuroplasticity. Now, neuroplasticity is a design and a wiring that God gave us. Our nervous system is the boss. It's constantly reading, reacting, and adapting to what's going on. And that can go good, and that can go bad. And I know that wasn't real good English, so let me say that again. That could go well, that could build development, that could build health, that could build brain development and resiliency and cognition and social-emotional regulation when the nervous system is not stressed, not subluxated, not disrupted. And it could build good pathways, great pathways, and a big, strong, wonderful brain. Or it can continue to make the brain work worse. Now, neuroplasticity, nerves that fire together, wire together, in this perfect storm, sympathetic dominance conversation, the more that the brain seizes, the more that the brain gets stressed, the more it brings more stress, more seizures, more wiring. And so that is a conversation that has to be there with kids that are having, we're only having a few seizures or focal seizures. Well, if we don't get a hold of them right away, they can get worse and often do. Going a little bit deeper to the different types of seizures, there's what are called generalized tonic-clonic seizures. That is really the ones that are known as the convulsions. And it's the most common and really the thing to say here, it's the most easily recognized form of a generalized seizure. But then there's also absence seizures. Now, what I have noticed clinically is that again and again and again, absence seizures, which are not as easily recognizable, are so easily overlooked and missed by the general pediatrician, by parents. Of course, I mean, parents, none of us are trained as, you know, epileptologists and neurologically focused experts like this, but absence seizures are ones where the child gets easily confused, can almost look like they're just spaced out, blanked out, not paying attention. And if they get bad enough, the truth is they can kind of go longer than a few seconds to a few minutes. Now, once you start to be aware of what these absence seizures are, then it's easier for parents to spot them. But that is a similar neurological pathway in that the nervous system is stressed and disrupted as a tonic-clonic seizure, but it's a much harder to recognize and kind of see that they're happening seizure. Another one is what we call an atonic or an antonic seizures, where there's this drop attack seizure. Now, this is something where the nervous system literally goes into such a quick, fast stress response that then from there, after there's the stiffening and the tension, there's a complete loss of muscle tone. And when we say muscle tone again, we really need to say this is a neurological phenomenon. So nerves control muscles. Nerves control the digestive system. Nerves control everything. So what happens with a seizure in this case, there's a surge of neurological activity, too much sympathetic dominant tension. And the way that God designed our nervous system is there's this almost kind of like fail back final, you know, release valve of pressure and tension, if you will. And what we find all the time in these drop seizures, they're very similar in their neurological mechanism to something called vasovagal syncope and other sorts of things. There's a sympathetic surge of activity. Then we call it the pendulum effect, protective pendulum, parasympathetic effect. The P's run together there, a little alliteration for you. And what'll happen is the body will save itself from going too far into this tension by creating an excessive parasympathetic vagus nerve response where it shuts the system down. And that's where kids, patients will fall down or have the drop. And then there's the myoclonic seizures, which again, all of these have a lot of similarities, but the differences are also important. These are the brief muscular, and again, it always says in medical terminology, muscular jerks. I want you to introduce forever forward these five letters in front of every one of your child's challenges. N-E-U-R-O, neuromuscular jerks. It can be most commonly, these show up in the neck, the jaw, the upper arms, and the shoulders, because the most common trigger of seizures is actually that the world doesn't know about yet, but you're going to on this podcast, is tension, what's called subluxation and neurological dysfunction in the neck and the brainstem. So the nerves that come from that area, what is the first components, the first pieces and parts of the body that they supply? The muscles of the neck, the upper arms, the shoulders, the jaw, and the eye. So we will see seizures in what we call the upper third of the nervous system coming from the neck and the brainstem. And so if your child is having these myoclonic seizures in those areas, you can see it in their eyes, you can see it in their jaw, you can see it in their neck, you can see it in their shoulders, you can see it in their arms and their hands. You got to look back and say, was there ever a time that they had a neck injury? Was birth forceps, vacuum, C-section, cord wrap, breech, induction, these sort of things? Because there is so often, I've only seen a few cases of myoclonic seizures where the storm, the kind of neuromuscular storm, we actually have video. We always try and get video of our kids having seizures. And where the storm begins is where the subluxation and the original neurological dysfunction is. And so often, this is the most important thing, maybe out of 10 most important things I want to teach you on this episode. What I've been blown away by forever is that medical epileptologists and neurologists still think that seizures start and are located and coming from the brain only. The brain is wildly important. Duh, right? You don't need to be a brainiac to go, oh, the brain is the most important part of the nervous system. But it's also only a part of the nervous system. From the brain, literally connected to it. It's not a closed pathway. It's an open loop. From the bottom of the brain and the back of the brain is called the cerebellum and the brainstem. From the cerebellum and the brainstem is called the spinal cord. From the spinal cord is called the spinal nerves. Some go out and they're motor. Some go out and they control organ function and other tissues, organs and cells, and then there's sensory nerves coming back in. The nervous system is one connected loop from the brain to your child's pinky toe. And the middleman of the nervous system is the neurospinal system and the brainstem. So I had a neurologist tell me one time, I literally came in, take this podcast episode I'm doing here, and I'm only halfway through. I'm going to teach you all the components that nobody else has taught you in more detail next. And I went into a room of neurologists, a room of epileptologists at a leading hospital here in Chicago, because one incredible epileptologist, two, actually, one moved away, still worked with us back then and understood, hey, we got to save these drugs. We got to get to the root cause of these kids. They learned about the results we had with Oliver. One of them was the epileptologist who helped us with Oliver, saw his brain heal, evidence, literally. And this is a doctor who, thank God, wasn't like, well, I haven't seen a randomized clinical trial yet. He was a doctor who cared enough to pay attention to common sense, not just research. And he looked at Oliver, saw Oliver got better. He listened to what I explained and taught him about subluxation, brain damage, especially for Oliver's, it was so evident. And he became intrigued and interested, and he started to send more patients to us for drug-free care. They got results. We built our relationship. So he invites me into this hospital to have this conversation and teach this perfect storm subluxation presentation to other epileptologists. And I'm halfway through and I'm connecting brainstem, vagus nerve damage. And by the way, it's not just physical injury to the brainstem. The vagus nerve is very, very, very sensitive to inflammation. So if your child had a medication or another sort of medical intervention reaction, it lands at the vagus nerve. It ends up in the brainstem. So I'm going to talk a lot about on this podcast episode about birth trauma and all the time on the podcast because nobody else is talking about it. But if your child's first pathway to stress was an inflammatory reaction, the consequence, neurophysiological consequence, is the same. So the solution, the option you can take to fix that and heal that is the same as well. And this epileptologist raises her hand and goes, I just don't see how anything to do with the neck, the brainstem, and the spinal cord could have anything to do with seizures because they come from the brain. It took me a minute, as I'm kind of taking right here, to be like, oh my goodness, you really need me to answer this question? The brainstem is connected to the brain. The brain is a sensory responsive organ. Actually, the way the brain works, moms and dads and other providers, if you're listening, the brain is running 99.99999% on autopilot. It is a read and react. Some research says that it's processing 300 trillion bits of information per second, and we're consciously aware of 50. Not 50 trillion, not 50 million, not even 50, 50, just 50. And so we think that these are brain-based problems, epilepsy, autism, seizures. What if they're brain stem and body based problems that end up in the brain? What if the EEG is kicking off the stress from the brain, but it didn't start from the brain? So right here, I want to introduce a term called diaschisis, or if you're Canadian, diaschisis. Okay, that's my bad joke. I don't know if that's how a Canadian would pronounce it. I don't know that many of us have said that word in our life. So diaschisis or diaschisis is a term that says there can be an injury. It could be physical, it could be chemical, it could be toxic. There could be a certain place, a certain part of the nervous system that is injured, shocked. So the Latin word diaschisis means shocked throughout. Hang with me on this. This is probably the nerdiest part of the podcast episode, but diaschisis is a term that says there's an injury somewhere within the nervous system and the symptoms and the problem show up throughout the entire rest of the nervous system. So if your child's seizures are coming forth on EEG, are they coming from that part of the brain or are they ending up at that part of the brain? And what we have seen again and again and again is that kids who have physical injury to their neck, their neurospinal system, and their brainstem end up with seizure activity. What we have seen again and again and again is that kids who massively have their gut brain, that's also called the vagus nerve. When we say gut-brain connection, there's actually a nerve that does that. It's called the vagus nerve. Did a whole deep dive podcast episode a few episodes ago. You can scroll back, scroll up. I don't know how that would work. And listen to that one. And so the vagus nerve is this gut-brain connection. So when we throw in tons of toxins, tons of chemicals, tons of inflammation into the gut and the microbiome, that inflammation goes bottom up. Gut-brain goes from the south to the north into the vagus nerve, into the brainstem, and it creates an inflammatory cascade that shifts the nervous system into sympathetic dominance, same as a physical injury would as well. And for most kids that we see with epilepsy and seizure activity, they've had both. They've had physical injury from early life, birth trauma, birth intervention, and then they had toxic reactions to antibiotics, to medications, to different interventions or different things in food, in environment. So what you may have done already, moms and dads, is started to put this conversation together. Hopefully you've learned about the gut-brain connection, the microbiome, and the inflammatory, because we know that seizures come from imbalances in metabolism. We know that when a child is sick, has a fever, has inflammation, febrile seizures, we know that these are perhaps the most common triggers of a seizure is gut problems, tension, inflammation, immune problems, inflammation, dysregulation. But what about how simple, I know how simple what I'm about to say sounds. What about physical trauma? What about neck issues? What about a child with torticollis, plagiocephaly, chronic ear infections? What if that tension, what's called subluxation, is sitting in the motor system? Is that why perhaps most seizures end up as a motor response? It is. Because stress in creates stress out. And what I want to teach you about this, and I was going to go through a few different kinds of seizures, but I'm going to skip another section on there is more different types of seizures, because I know right now you're leaned into this podcast episode and this is making sense, and you need to make full, complete sense of what this is and how to get at it. So let me just break down a few more things. So I've already brought this up, so this can be brief. When there's a medical exam for seizures, it's a combination of the medical case history and then the examination. Well, what is the examination typically performed? EEG, MRI, maybe CT, and blood work, right? Now, the reason they'll run blood work, just covering that one, is we do know that different metabolic conditions can increase the threshold or increase the challenge of their presence and activity of seizures. But again, as a DC, doctor of cause, we keep digging deeper. Okay, well, why are those metabolic imbalances in the first place? What controls the metabolic endocrine system? The nervous system. So when we look at these different components of EEG, MRI, and even blood tests, are they really revealing the cause of seizures, the actual deep root cause, or are they just going to show us the middleman? And so what parents know is that even as you go down these typical medical exam routes, EEG, MRI, lab work, you can see the presence of seizures and the activity quite often, and actually really often, a child would not even have seizure activity on EEGs, but still be put on seizure medications. But is that really telling us why that abnormal seizure activity is there? Or is it just proving to us in a different way through medical testing what we already kind of know? It's there. The $10 million question forever, every case, every one of our kiddos, is what's causing not just the seizures, what's causing the abnormal EEG? What's causing the abnormal lab work? What's causing the abnormal findings? And so what I want to finish this podcast is teaching you and breaking down that real granular, detailed neurological components that I promise you nobody has gone to yet, okay? So for a child to get the official medical or a patient, this isn't even just a pediatric conversation. If you're listening to this and you're a young adult or are an adult with seizures, we're having the same conversation and the same things can help you as well to have a higher quality of life and go after the root cause of these things. But we're looking at this and from a medical perspective, a person must have had at least two unprovoked seizures occurring more than 24 hours apart. You know what? I don't even want to... That is the classic kind of DSM diagnostic life that medicine lives. They spend all of their time worrying about the diagnosis, and they get so consumed on that, the diagnosis, the treatment, the medication, that nobody just asks the question that every one of us parents have the whole time. What the heck is causing this? And what can I do to take care of that? So the challenges of seizure medications are one of the longest list. I just don't know of a worst class of medications. Now, I am not a cancer expert, and so I would suppose if, you know, as I say that out loud, in my brain comes the word chemo and radiation and those sort of things. But I mean, what are we really talking about here? We're just comparing really bad things to really bad things. And so do seizure medications save lives? Heck yes. Was Oliver on a heavy, nasty, horrible seizure medication called phenobarbital for 3 weeks? And was it awesome and important and incredible that God gave us that medication and he was able to be on it? Because for those 3 weeks, we weren't focused on healing Oliver. We were focused on saving Oliver. Medications are so often life-saving. Medications have nothing to do with healing. There isn't a single pharmaceutical medication, and this is to their credit, there isn't a single doctor who's going to put a child on a medication and say, oh, this will do the healing. That's not at all the design of medication. That's not at all the design of modern medicine. The design of modern medicine is to kill things, antibacterial, and cover, or antibiotics, and cover things up and shut them down and suppress them. The entire goal of the medical system is symptomatic alleviation, not root cause addressing. And so when you look at the host of medications from fatigue and drowsiness, anxiety, depression, dizziness, GI issues, mood changes, cognitive. So the reason we needed to get Oliver off, so we switched gears. We knew for that 2 to 3 week period while he needed to go through the different seizures, his whole nervous system needed to be shut down. While he was on ECMO, which is literally catheters connected to his jugular and his carotid, if he had a seizure, muscular contractions, that would risk his life and the success of the seizure. So you better believe we agreed to the heaviest shut down that nervous system component of medications, which is what seizure medications do. They are suppressive in every way possible. And so, but what comes with, especially phenobarbital, severe, very clearly documented cognitive neurological delays. And so the reason that there's such a cross-pollination of kids struggling with seizures and other conditions like autism, ADHD, sensory, anxiety, depression, is it's maybe not even just the neurological dysfunction causing the seizures that is also causing those other conditions. But for so many families, it's the seizure medication that's messing with their child's motor development, cognitive development, social, emotional, speech, behavioral development. When you mess with the nervous system, you mess with everything. So when somebody goes, what are the side effects of seizure medications? The list goes on. Okay, so that's where we're at with that. So I've been promising this. We've went into a bunch of it already, but I want to package the root cause conversation of this even more clearly and what I'm going to call sequentially for the last 10, 15 minutes of this podcast episode so you're not missing anything. So first off, we do not buy that seizures are just bad luck. We don't buy and blame genetics only. Just like autism and the deep dive episode I did there, and just like any deep dive episode into any condition, ADHD, anxiety, I'm going to do, do we have to address genetic predisposition? Yes. Now, that is the appropriate term to say some kids' nervous systems have a little pre-wiring predisposition based upon genetic factors. Their DNA code is more sensitive to stress and is more likely to be triggered in this direction. Now, the genetic component for the majority of kids, out of those 470,000 kids under the age of 14 having seizures, the genetic conversation doesn't add up. In fact, most of these families, it happens again and again and again and again. When they can't find, oftentimes they don't even find seizures on EEG. They don't find it on MRI. They don't find it on lab work. So what they will do for your kiddo is they will send you through 47 rounds of genetic testing. And at the end of thousands of dollars and all this time testing, they will end up calling it, you know, evil-ish, you know, Wolfhausen syndrome. They're going to, I've definitely pulled that one out of you know what. The truth is, so often a genetic label is given to something medicine can't explain. So when they can't find the root cause, but they know parents want one, and they want one too, because it's a whole lot easier to blame it on genetics than it is to say, birth intervention and antibiotics and these other things are at play. Yeah, that's true. Just said it. Then it's nice and it's convenient to go all the way down the road and throw a genetic label on it. I spent my undergrad degree studying genetics and molecular biology. I am as nerdy as nerds get, like I'm VP of the nerd brigade here. And so I know genetics inside and out, and I know that they explain very little of what we're actually talking about here. And I know that in when this podcast releases, I know medicine still pins the tail on the donkey for autism, for epilepsy, for ADHD, for anxiety, for almost all neurological conditions, and they blame genetics and maybe kind of sort of accept that there's a little bit of environmental influence. That is because they haven't got updated. They have not asked the questions that would lead them down the road to actually get the answers and the explanations that I have, and now you have as well. So what we see beyond any shadow of a doubt again and again in the vast majority of kiddos' case histories is very little, if any, genetic challenges, but we see severe challenges with the perfect storm. In fact, even our kiddos, so our CP kiddos, our trisomy kiddos, there is genetic cases, special needs cases. We have a huge piece of our practice that is special needs, and those kids are more likely to have seizures because their nervous system is more likely to get stressed out, because their nervous systems, their motor component, especially a lot of genetic challenges really mess with motor tone. Some kids will have hypertonicity and hypotonicity. synchronicity, that imbalance of the neuromotor system increases the likelihood of having seizures. So the seizures may be coming from the other neuromuscular components that come from their genetic condition versus just saying, oh, you're automatically going to have them because you have this genetic label. Those children go through the perfect storm as well. And so the first component of the perfect storm that we see strongly correlated with neurological challenges later on in life is a stressful high-risk pregnancy. More stress, more high risk, more anxiety during the pregnancy, more stress from the nervous system to from mom's nervous system because we're disempowering and not supporting her. And that stress goes to the child's nervous system. And so the more stress that's going into that scenario, that pre or what's called fetal development prenatal period, the more that increases the risk of the child being born early. A stressed out mom is more inflamed. A stressed out mom is more high blood pressure, preeclampsia. A stressed out mom is more likely to go into preterm labor. A stressed out mom is more likely to have problems with natural delivery and end up with intervention. And that's the second component of the perfect storm is birth trauma, forceps, vacuum, cord wrapped, grabbing a hold of a child by their head and neck, yanking and twisting and pulling them into the world. And oh, by the way, most seizures come from the brainstem and vagus nerve dysfunction. And the brainstem and the vagus nerve are housed in the neck and shoulders. And so this physical injury is the thing that the world needs to know is the most overlooked component and trigger of seizures. And if it's triggering them and causing them and creating them, then we need to find that and then we need to fix that. Because now the third component of the perfect storm is coming after the first and second component. And that is once that brainstem is stressed, injured, what's called subluxation or dysautonomic, from birth trauma, the nervous system goes into sympathetic dominance. Sympathetic dominance, the first thing it shuts down is gastric GI motility. So now that child is constipated, refluxed, and pro-inflammatory. When the gut can't have motility, when it can't move things along, it can't get toxins out. It can't get viruses out. It can't get bacteria out. So a neurological problem, what we call neurogenic issues, set up first in the gut, second in the immune system, and third in the motor system. Now I said 1, 2, 3 there, it happens all at once. When the central and autonomic nervous system, especially through the vagus nerve, which controls the tone and motility of the gut, the vagus nerve controls the inflammatory control and cascade of the immune system, and the vagus nerve and the parasympathetic system are supposed to work in concert with the other side of the nervous system to control motor, tone, and coordination. And every single kiddo we've seen with seizures has severe motor imbalances. Now, maybe they can walk, maybe they can talk, yes, but that's how medicine grades motor milestones. Ah, you passed. You can walk, you can do. It's not that. It's the quality of motor tone and function. A disrupted, dysfunctional, subluxated neuro, motor, gastro, immunological system is a pissed off, wound up, stressed out, disorganized nervous system. And that triggers seizures. So there's two parts here. What triggered the neurological storm? And then is that storm bad enough to trigger seizures? And that's the last, very last thing I want to teach you. Why is your child so sensitive to weather changes? Why is your child so sensitive to immune challenges? Why is your child so sensitive to different diets and different issues with their gut? Why is your child so sensitive to emotions and lack of sleep? Why do they struggle to sleep and regulate their emotions, their gut, their immune system, and their motor system in the first place? Why is it that growth spurts and teething trigger more seizures? We now see 4 kids with seizures, these regular life things, gut changes, immune challenges, growth spurts, weather changes, full moons, seasonal shifts. They all increase the trigger and the likelihood of seizures. Because a child having seizures already has an overly sensitive, imbalanced, dysregulated nervous system. So these terms, I probably use them each 30, 40, 50 times by now. Subluxation means sympathetic fight or flight tone stuck on. Subluxation, when you hear that word, it means the central and autonomic nervous system has shifted into a sympathetic, sustained, stuck mode. We're not supposed to stay there. A child's not supposed to be there. If you're in this subluxated tone, your nervous system is not only sympathetic dominant. That's 1A problem from that. 1B is worse. 1B is more strongly correlated to seizures. 1B means the parasympathetic vagus nerve system, which is rest, regulate, relax, is shut down or suppressed. They actually use a device called vagal nerve stimulators for kids with seizures when medications have failed. So they're barking up the right tree, but they're not getting to the roots. A device that stimulates the vagus nerve is saying, well, the vagus nerve's not doing its job. What if we can dig deeper, naturally, drug-free, and get the vagus nerve stimulated, activated, repaired, and back online? What if we could make neurologically focused chiropractic adjustments to release stuck sympathetic stress? We can, and we do all the time. The single most effective, potent, direct access to the brain and the nervous system is through the neck, the brainstem, and the neurospinal system. That whole thing called the spine, the nerves, the muscles, the spinal cord, the dura, the CSF, the oxygen, everything that flows through that into the brain, from the brain, down through that again, and into the rest of the body. That's the pathway with which chiropractic works. No one else knows that system even close to the in-depth intricacy like we do. And even if they know about it, they're not trained to do anything about it. So our access point to get the nervous system, to get the vagus nerve, to get things back into a calmer, more regulated, more balanced, less stressed, less toxic, less inflamed, less out of balance state is to make adjustments directly into that system. Is this a regular kind of chiropractic? No, it's not. Is this back pain, neck pain, get hooked up to a stretchy machine, get a massage, do rehab and get fitted for orthotics and buy a supplement on the way out kind of chiropractic? No, it's not. Those kinds of chiropractic are awesome for back pain, neck pain. They're better than opioids and surgery. But this kind of nervous system focused chiropractic that kiddos struggling with neurological challenges need is one, again, that doesn't treat and doesn't cure, but instead it knows how to find if that stress, that subluxation, that vagus nerve dysfunction, that dysautonomia is the catch-all term for nervous system out of balance. We can find that, we can measure that, and we can address that. We can change that. Now, the thing you need to know about seizures is seizures don't just come from stress. There's one more component that subluxation creates and triggers within the nervous system, and we see it every single time with our kids with seizures. The first part of subluxation and vagus nerve dysfunction and dysautonomia and nervous system dysregulation, as I've been talking about this whole time, we've already covered. It triggers an excessive sympathetic response, and it shuts down or suppresses the vagus nerve and the parasympathetic system. That by itself is not good. What I have observed clinically and found in the research is that by itself is not enough to trigger seizures. So if your child is having seizures or another kiddo you know who, please send them this podcast episode. What the brain really despises is not just too much noise or too much stress coming from this subluxation and altered proprioception as it lets in what's called nociception through the gate theory and dyschisis like we talked about before. But what the brain despises and will lead to seizure activity is what we call confusion, asymmetry, disorganization. What I find again and again in our cases, so what we do is we do a deep dive into the case history of a child to find out exactly what triggered it. The more we know from the case history, the more we know exactly where to address and go after the root cause, because so often it's sticking out like a sore thumb in a child's case history. A high-risk, high-stress pregnancy, forceps, vacuum, C-section, induction, cord wrapped. We see a huge correlation with vacuum extraction births, cord wrapped, D-cells, emergency C-sections, and seizures. Those kids typically become difficulty latching, refluxy, colicky, chronic ear infections, constipated. Then they get Miralax, then they get antibiotics, then they get medications, and it creates the toxic threshold. And so often they will have their first seizures around 8 to 10 months when the gross motor system is trying to kick in and can't due to subluxation, and they're hitting those gross spurts plus teething. 8 to 10 months, they'll get into ear infections and then have infantile spasms, which will grow into seizures if not addressed by the root cause, if they're just covered up with acetylcholine and medications. So often we'll see the first onset or trigger of seizures at 12 months, 18 months, different interventions that come at that time at the doctor's office. Or so often we will not see seizures until age 7 or 8. Or 14 or 16 or 18, because maybe this stress and neurological dysfunction and disorganization isn't bad enough, but is brewing under the surface that whole time. And maybe there's a neck injury. Maybe there's a concussion. Maybe there's an emotional trauma that that child goes through. The nervous system is doing its best all along to adapt. The nervous system is doing its best to calm the storm and organize the dysfunction. And at whatever point these seizures show up for your child or for a patient, that's when we know the nervous system ran out of gas and it became too stressed, too disorganized. And so those different pieces and parts of the brain and the nervous system, as it has this massive job of organization, coordination through all the different tissues, organs, cells, and pieces and parts of the brain, when that subluxation shows up in what we call an asymmetrical presentation, it is a much more likelihood of causing seizures. Now, this is some pretty nerdy chiropractic stuff we're closing this hour-long episode down with, but this is the stuff that I think you deserve to know as a parent. What's really causing these seizures down to the granular details? I know seizure parents, and I know autism parents, and I know parents of children with nervous systems who are stressed out and low quality of life as a result. You don't want kind of sort of answers. You don't want surface level answers. You want a doctor like me who can tell you the truth all the way down to the T. And that's what I'm choosing to do with this episode. This is a pretty deep, nerdy, in-depth episode, but I took you through in sequence to get to this part because this final step is where the action comes in. If you are listening to this podcast episode and you're thinking, goodness, that sounds exactly like what's going on with my child. They did go through one, two, or all three and more pieces of parts of that perfect storm. We have exhausted the medical system, the EEGs, the MRIs, the medications, the lab work. We have worked on cleaning up the gut. We're gluten-free. We're casein-free. We're working on macros. We're adding supplements. We're doing homeopathics. We're doing all the things. And yet these seizures are still there. It's very likely if that's the case for your family, then subluxation, dysautonomia, vagus nerve dysfunction, and nervous system dysregulation are still at play for your child. And you deserve to find out. And here's how you do. There's something called this incredible, it's my favorite thing in the world. We have cutting edge technology that we use in our practice and all PX docs, nervous system focused chiropractors use this. The way you can tell you have a nervous system focused chiropractor on your team, and if you don't yet, I'm about to give you the action steps to find one. They need to use this technology. It is not enough at all for a child with seizures and these neurological challenges if a chiropractor talks about the nervous system but does not measure directly the function, or more appropriately said for this conversation, the dysfunction, dysautonomia, and dysregulation of the nervous system, then they're not really fully practicing nervous system focused chiropractic. So this technology has three components: thermal, what's called surface EMG, and HRV. Now, you can go to our website. If you go to pxdocs.com and you click on the clinical protocols tab, you can learn all about this technology and all about our clinical protocol. I'm a little bit into overtime with this episode. And verbally, by the way, these are graphs, these are scores, these are metrics, these are incredible components of technology that print out and show us. Number one, is your child subluxated? Is this something that's at play for your child? Number two, if yes, how bad? We can quantify it. We call what's neurometrics within the scans. We can measure the severity of your child's neurological dysfunction. And number three, and this is essential to really addressing the root cause of neurological challenges like seizures, we can actually go all the way down to the root cause location and region of this neurological dysfunction and subluxation. So these scans are essential to the care we do, which again, I need to say for a third time in this episode, we don't treat seizures. We don't cure neurological challenges in kids. We address subluxation, neurological dysfunction, dysautonomia, and nervous system dysregulation. We address it more potently and more completely than any other provider out there. Yes, you can improve diet and take supplements to get to the brain, but it has to go through the gut to do its job, and the gut requires the nervous system to be doing its job optimally first for the gut to work. So it's a very long, perhaps disrupted route to root, again, I don't know how to root to get the brain to heal. Yes, you can work on the motor system, PT, OT, movement-based neurointegrative therapies. Yes, you can work on the eyes. Yes, you can work on primitive reflexes. Yes, you can do things like brain tapping and brain stimulation and lasers. Those are all secondary, where the brainstem and the neurospinal system and subluxation is primary. I think all those things are wonderful. You should focus on sleep. You should focus on getting outside with your child and regulating their nervous system in nature. But the final thing I can tell you, and this technology leads this for us, there's a difference between nervous system healing, repair, and vagus nerve healing and repair, and just simply regulation through things like meditation and so forth. And when a child is struggling with seizures, their nervous system is so sympathetic dominant, so vagus nerve exhausted, and most importantly, so disorganized. And those neurological communication pathways are so disrupted that our adjustments need to address both layers of that. So nervous system focused chiropractors, especially those trained in the PX Docs network and have gone through our CERT course, they know exactly how to calm the stress of the nervous system, how to stimulate and activate the vagus nerve. But most importantly, they know how to reorganize, reintegrate, and get the nervous system back to the place it needs to be to have a chance to get through these conditions and these challenges on its own. I'll leave you with this. Your child can heal. They are meant to heal. The nervous system is meant to be plastic and heal. The nervous system is meant to be calm and regulated and healthy. It's not meant to be stuck in this storm. You need help getting it from where it is to where it's meant to be. And that's what neurologically focused pediatric chiropractic does better than anything else on earth. What you deserve is more information, more resources, and drug-free options first, and then save those for last. And so what I want you to do is please first subscribe to this podcast. Go to wherever you're listening, Spotify, Apple, wherever you found this. Will you please give a review to this? If you love this information, drug-free healthcare for kids that gets to the root cause and gets all nerdy. And I feel like I went a little lighter on dad jokes than I was supposed to. I don't know that I hit my quota on this episode. So I promise I'll come back stronger next time with the dad jokes on this one. Pretty serious conversation. I despise seizures. And so I was pretty darn, straightforward throughout this one, but there was a lot of dad jokes in this podcast and in our content. So please subscribe and please share the heck out of this podcast. And that's the big one. Share it with a family you know. There's so many kids having seizures. Usually it's only one or two arms length away from our family of kids that are going through this. Those of you that are in seizure Facebook groups, that are in different networks where you're all trying to search for these answers, will you please share this podcast episode in there? And then most importantly, speaking to everyone, know this. Your children, your kids can heal. They're designed to. They need help doing it, and that help should start drug-free first. For more information, which is exactly the direction I want to send you to, on our website, pxdocs.com, you can read multitude of articles about subluxation, dysautonomia, vagus nerve, you name it. You can read articles about the Insight technology and about our clinical process and get more answers there about how we help and how it works. And most importantly, on that website, pxdocs.com, you can find our directory of nervous system focused, pediatric trained and ready, incredible chiropractors. And you can reach out and connect and get scheduled to them with them right there on that site. If you go to our site, you get more information, you get the resources, you go to the directory and you don't see a PX doctor near you, all you got to do is send us a DM. Go to Instagram, go to Facebook. You can contact us right through the website. Send us your city, send us your country, send us your zip code. We will work with you to find a nervous system focused chiropractor who can do this work. We dove super deep, way deep, all in to a conversation around seizures that I promise you nobody has ever had. Nobody's connected it to the perfect storm and broken down the real actual neurological dysfunction that is causing these challenges in kids. But we did today. And I pray that this was the information you've been searching for, you've been praying for, you've been hoping for. I do know that when I was in the hospital with Oliver, I was lucky. I knew this stuff. I knew about birth trauma. I knew about the brainstem. I knew about subluxation, the vagus nerve, and I knew that chiropractic adjustments done right to the right location with the right technique and the right frequency could get my child's brain to heal. And they did. And he's 14, and he's not only seizure-free, he's neurological dysfunction-free, he is medication-free, and he is living his life to the fullest. And the whole goal of this podcast and the whole goal of the PX Docs platform is to get your child there, their fullest potential. God bless. Be well. We'll see you guys on the next one.